Welcome to That Farm Life, planting hope, harvesting strength. That Farm Life is a production of Eagle Farms at Williams Baptist University. On That Farm Life, we talk about that life that is that of a farmer and their family. We talk about the day-to-day grind, the good times, the tough times, and everything in between. Because farming is more than a job, it's a way of life. And we're here to offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. Now here's your host, Stan Norman.
Hello and welcome to That Farm Life podcast. My name is Stan Norman, and we are delighted that you would join us on this Christmas Day. When this podcast is released, it will be December 25th, 2023, and we thought we would deviate just a little bit from our normal programming to recognize and acknowledge the significance of this day, and maybe use the occasion of the celebration of the birth of the Savior to encourage and speak directly to the farming community. So what I'd like to first do is read from the Word of God in Luke chapter 2, the actual account, or one of the two accounts of the birth of Jesus. So beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This was the first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors.' When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told." In this account, we are vividly reminded of the majesty and glory of God. God incarnating in the person of the Son, the second person of the Trinity, coming to earth as a baby. And in the midst of this most mysterious, glorious, majestic, incredible event, God chose to include a group of individuals to be part of that first Christmas. And as we read in the passage, these individuals were shepherds. One of our vice presidents here, Dr. Ryan Putman, is also an excellent theologian and pastor, and he is in final process of releasing a book on the virgin birth. And in part of that, he talks about, he has a chapter just on shepherds and the primary place that being a shepherd has in the overall purposes of God. And I thought I would read some excerpts from that book that will be coming out later in 2024. In his book, Dr. Putman says this, quote, "Shepherds had one of the dirtiest jobs in ancient Israel. Not only would their smells assault the senses, their reputations were equally repugnant. The elites of ancient Israel's ruling class looked down on the whole occupation of sheep farming. They viewed shepherds as scoundrels and lowlifes who unlawfully grazed on other people's property for dishonest gain. Israel's God, on the other hand, had a special fondness for sheep farmers. Throughout the biblical story, he often called men from this line of work to deliver his message to lead his people. Abel was a shepherd of flocks whose offering pleased the Lord in Genesis chapter 4. God called Abraham out of Haran and blessed him with great wealth and livestock and sheep herds, Genesis chapter 12. When Jacob appeared before Pharaoh, he professed his family business and the business of his ancestors to be sheep herding. The author of Genesis, Moses, adds that all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians, Genesis 46. Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush, Exodus 3:2. David was keeping watch over the flock in the fields around Bethlehem when the prophet Samuel called to him to anoint him as the next king over Israel, 1 Samuel 16. The 8th century prophet Amos was a sheep breeder from the little village about 10 miles south of Jerusalem when God called him to be a spokesman before the pagan kings of Israel in Amos chapter 1. And it goes on. For his faithful care and leadership over his people, God was also known as the shepherd. Jesus professed to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Peter referred to Jesus as the shepherd and overseer of your souls and the chief shepherd. Because they were called to reflect the shepherding care of the great shepherd, church elders were also called shepherds or pastors. Shepherding imagery pervaded Micah's prophecy about the Messiah who would be born in Bethlehem. In another Christmas passage in Micah chapter 5, we read, "Bethlehem Ephrathath, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd them in the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord God. They will live securely, for then his greatness will extend to the ends of the earth." Ezekiel also envisioned the Lord's Messiah as a shepherd in Ezekiel 34. And on it goes. Shepherding, agriculture, these things matter to God. They matter so much to him that he even chose to include this profession, this vocation, in the Christmas narrative, in the actual unfolding of the very first Christmas event in the birth of the Lord Jesus. So let me kind of wrap up this devotional reflection with just some observations that I hope encourages you on this Christmas day. First of all, if you are an agriculture professional, whether you're farming, whether you're ranching, whether you are taking care of sheep and you're a shepherd, whatever it may be, God sees you in this work. Your vocation was so important to God that he chose to include it in the unfolding, the revelatory event of the Messiah coming to earth. And he saw the shepherds. He saw them in their humility, in their lowliness. He saw them in their work, and he came to them in the expression of angelic visitation. And then he came to them in the very person of the Son of God. God sees you in your work. Secondly, agriculture evidently matters to God. As I have already surveyed to you, throughout the Old Testament, this shepherding imagery, as well as other agricultural imagery, comes to the forefront of how God relates to his people, how God cares for his people, how God works in his world. So God values agriculture and, by extension, agriculture professionals. Or to put it another way, farmers matter to God. And so if you are a farmer, you matter to God. You matter to him because of the dignity of bearing his image in your very person. You matter to him as you work and toil in your farming and agriculture endeavors. God sees those that society often overlooks. And let's just call it as it is. Farmers are not as respected in the profession as they once may have been. There are parts of our culture and society that do respect and value farmers, but by and large, the overall tenor of our country does not give the farmers the respect they do. God does, and you matter to him, and he extends that value of you and for you by including your vocation and people that are working in that profession in the Christmas event. God uses agriculture, thirdly, to extend his purposes. By calling the shepherds to Bethlehem, by visiting them through angelic expressions and these angelic beings, he then draws them to the person of his Son, and then he sends them out with a mission to tell what they have seen And they do it. They become some of the very first Christian missionaries in all of the Bible. Those very first ones include those in the agriculture community. So God can use agriculture not only to communicate truths about his purposes for his human creation, he can also use agriculture professionals as messengers and missionaries to extend his work. And finally, the shepherds were blessed by God. These lowly, despised, overlooked, mistrusted individuals in the first century got to witness the glory of God. The glory of God in these angelic beings coming to them, the heavens being filled with angels declaring the glory of God, and then to see the culmination of God's glory in the lowly humility of the incarnation of the Son of God. They got to see it. They were some of the first to witness it. They were some of the first to actually praise and declare the Lord and the message of the Lord. They got to see the incarnation of the Son of God. God sees you. God values you. God values what you do. God uses what you do to communicate truths about himself and his purposes and his work. You matter to God. And this Christmas story, this reminder from Luke chapter 2, very clearly encourages us, encourages you, that on this Christmas season, when you may feel overlooked, when you may feel undervalued, when you may feel underappreciated, when the trials and struggles of life may be utterly overwhelming you, God sees you, God values you, God esteems the work that you do, your work matters to him, and God has a purpose and plan for your life. And we want this Christmas message, this little devotional reflection, to be something meaningful to you. So on behalf of the Williams Baptist University family, on behalf of our Eagles Farms students and employees, and from my heart to you, we wish you a Merry Christmas. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord give you encouragement on this Christmas day. God bless, and remember, keep the faith and keep farming.
You've been listening to That Farm Life, planting hope, harvesting strength, with your host, Stan Norman. That Farm Life is a creation of AgriHealth Network and is produced by Eagle Farms at Williams Baptist University. AgriHealth Network exists to offer opportunities to help you deal with the stress and strains of farm life through faith, family, and community with other farmers. You can learn more about AgriHealth Network at agrihealth.net and more about Williams at williamsbu.edu. That Farm Life is produced and edited by Mike Dixon. Chris Grady and Brett Cooper serve as executive producers, and Elizabeth Ring is our production assistant. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep farming and keep the faith.